In the name of Jesus, amen. The reading from Revelation is the basis for our sermon this Lord's Day. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Read the book of Revelation. Read it. You won't understand everything in it, and that's fine. There'll be a lot in there that doesn't make sense to you. Don't worry about that. Just read it. There will be some things you do understand. And you could even read it out loud if you'd like. There's a good reason to do that. The Bible says, you'll be blessed if you do. These words are from chapter 1. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. No other book of the Bible says that you will be blessed if you read it out loud. And for that reason alone, it's good to read the book of Revelation. Don't worry if you don't understand everything or it doesn't all make sense to you. There's lots of incredible things in the book of Revelation. There are angels, there are demons, there are dragons and beasts with multiple heads and multiple horns and strange-looking creatures that do strange things. There's war, which means there's violence and there's bloodshed. There's a lake of fire, there's a river of life. There are kings, and there are thrones, and there are jewels, and there is a place where there is healing, and a place where there are no more tears, and no more death. There's one particular animal that the whole book of Revelation revolves around. It's mentioned over 25 times in the book of Revelation, and it was mentioned several times in our epistle reading today. It is an animal that is not scary. It is an animal that is not frightening. It is an animal that is not intimidating. And yet it's an animal that rules over everything in the book of Revelation. And the animal is, it's a lamb. It's a lamb. Lambs aren't scary. Lambs aren't intimidating. Nobody has a lamb for a guard animal. Nobody has a lamb as a service animal. Lambs need to be tended and cared for. And not only does this book of the Bible revolve around a lamb, but it's a lamb that looks like it was dead, like it was slain. And that's because it was. It was killed. The lamb was dead. And you can't get any weaker than being dead. But now the Lamb is alive. The Lamb came back to life again. The Lamb rose from the dead. And you know who that Lamb stands for. It stands for Jesus, God's one and only Son, our Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's kind of a cloudy morning, so you can't see it real well this morning. But up at the top of the stained glass window, if there's the cross there up in the block work, and then you look down, and there's a Lamb. And the Lamb is looking up. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, I want to tell you something about the book of Revelation. Even though there are some scary and disturbing parts to it, when you think about it, that's true of most good stories. Most good stories have parts that are suspenseful and maybe even scary. In the book of Revelation, that all gets resolved. And this is what you might call a spoiler alert. The book of Revelation, it all ends well. It all ends gloriously. No matter what kind of scary things you might read about, no matter what kinds of things that might puzzle you and disturb you, at the end of the story, it all ends well. And throughout the book of Revelation, you're given pictures of that ending. The book of Revelation, it's not like a a novel where you can start at chapter 1 and just read straight through to chapter 22 and hope that it all makes sense. It won't. It's not like one straight line narrative. It's a series of visions, but it's visions all of the same thing. It's the visions of that time from our Lord's ascension into heaven until the time he comes again in glory. And each of the visions gives a different perspective of that. You might think about it as looking at the same scene from different camera angles. You're seeing the same scene, but from different perspectives. Chapter 5, which we heard about in our epistle reading today, even though it's not the end of the book, it gives us a picture of the end. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain. And he comes to God and he takes from him the seven sealed scroll. It was a practice in Roman civil law for a last will and testament to be sealed with seven seals. And the content of that scroll is the message given to John. In other words, it's the book of Revelation, the message of Revelation. And the message of that scroll has to do with events on earth from the time of our Lord's ascension to the end of all earthly things. And that includes tribulation and suffering for the human race, including the church, that will be experienced from the ascension of our Lord up to the end of the world. But the most important part of that message concerns the truth that Christ, the Lamb of God, rules presently and will rule for all eternity. So that when suffering and tribulation comes, that promise of what is happening now and will happen will sustain the people of God. As Jesus opens each seal, he reveals how war and famine and death will continue to afflict the earth. And he shows that God's people will face persecution, sometimes violent, and that the earth will begin to fall apart. Now that all sounds terrifying, and it is. But before Jesus reveals those things to John, what does Jesus, the Lamb of God, show John? He shows us how it all ends. And it ends gloriously and majestically. Our God doesn't leave us wondering how it's going to end. He gives us a picture of the end before the end even comes. It's grand and glorious, and God doesn't want you to be left out of that. And so that means that we are not at the mercy of whatever happens to be going on in the news. Well, you know, the world's going to be destroyed by nuclear disaster or by climate change or by some kind of illness or disease. That's not how it ends. The Lord is Lord of all. And he doesn't leave us wondering how it ends. He tells us how it ends. And it is good and glorious and grand and majestic. In fact, for the people of God, it never ends. It goes on into eternity with Christ. Your God doesn't leave you wondering what is to happen. Rather, he speaks into our ears the good news of the bodily, physical resurrection from the dead that every one of us will experience. Your God doesn't leave you to wonder about the future because he holds the future. And that's the picture God gives to John before Jesus the Lamb opens the seal of the scrolls. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. That is a glorious vision of God's majesty and the enthronement of Jesus. And it reminds us of how it ends. They picture what God is bringing about. God is bringing about the day when all creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them will claim and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. For that whole purpose, God's activity toward all people and all His creation is driving and working towards. That is what even now history is moving towards. Now you kind of have to let that ramble around in your brain a bit. But you can also think about it maybe a bit backwards. What if this is not true? What if this is not true? What if we are all just products of evolution? If we're all just here by accident? What if the purpose of life, there really isn't any because it's all just accidental? And this world's just going to go on until it self-destructs. That's depressing. That is life without hope. Then there's really no point to anything. Then you might as well just scratch and claw your way through life and until you die, and then it's over. But that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. God gives us a living hope and a living Lord and Savior who conquered sin, death, and the devil by His death and resurrection. Jesus Christ has established His church on earth, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In various times and places, that church grows, and in some places it declines. How it looks to our eyes, we don't worry about. We go forth with the Word of God, and we let the Word do its work, because of who we worship and who we follow. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith, until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.